Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Good to see everyone. It was definitely a refreshing morning to be here. Maybe we'll start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you this morning that you have shown yourself to us. Father, you have shown us our need. And that blessed Jesus is our Savior. Thank you, Father, for making a way for us, that we don't have to continue through life carrying our guilt and shame. But through Jesus Christ, we can be overcomers. We can live life to the fullest. We can enjoy it with peace in our hearts. We can enjoy wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that it can direct our path. And we know, Father, that it comes from a right fear of you. Lord, we thank you for taking care of us. Those of us that have fully surrendered our lives to you, Lord, and call you our Father, and you call us your children, we thank you, Father. Thank you for the privilege. Lord, this morning as we gather here and we worship you, as we've been exhorted and encouraged already this morning, thank you, Lord, for each word that was spoken. Father, I pray for each one of us today, Lord, that we would have hearts to receive. Lord, that we wouldn't continue going on through life not experiencing the fullness of your blessing while we live here. Thank you again, Father. I do pray, be with us. Bless this time here, Lord. I pray for a clear mind. I pray, Father, that you would, by your Spirit, bring the thoughts that I should share. That, Lord, you would exalt and glorify your holy name. And that your people be edified, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being the one that holds the master plan. Lord, you know that for a number of us, our plans have changed this morning. And we just look to you and we see that you were the one that was in control. Not us, but you, Lord. And so, Father, this morning, would you come and continue to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of thoughts before I start here. I was thinking of, as Brother Willie was sharing, and he said about using children as an example, and he talked about using my son Elliot, and I was thinking Jesus probably had a different little boy or somebody, because you all know the rowdy side of my little guy. But the world, and being exhorted about the world being full of offenses, and they're going to come. Just an encouragement for us as we walk with God. Let's keep that in our minds, but let's also purpose to, as they come, to not allow them to offend us. Let's purpose that way. And let's walk carefully to not be an offense. Just thinking of offenses, you probably all have had opportunity to be offended, probably, right? Most of you can probably think of a time in your life that something didn't go quite right. Somebody said something a little bit wrong. Oh, that really hurt. You probably had experiences that way. But you have an opportunity at that time to do with it what you want. You can allow that to offend you, or you can allow that to purify you, to be able to deal with that in a right way, with a right heart. I was just thinking of, I've had numerous opportunities, and some I have successfully, by the grace of God, responded right, and some I have not. But as Willie shared, you know, when we see that, We're quick to respond and make it right. But I was just thinking of one opportunity that has come my way often is, as I serve in the ministry here, I've got numerous calls on from other people, not here, on what I need to do different and how this will help this here go better. And here's your problem here, and here's this is what. And that's not always what I call a blessing. Do you understand? It's like somebody calls you up in your business and you're running a tire shop, Tyler, and this is what you need to do different, this is what you're doing wrong, but they're not there when you're actually working it out with whatever you're working it out. And that can go on in everybody's business. But we have an opportunity to either take that, thank people for that, and let God do a deeper work in our hearts. To be able to respond right in that way, that's a God thing. That's not something that we can muster up. Because if we do it on our own strength, we continue on with offense. It's down there. And that thing, every time it comes up, you see that, But when God's in it, that doesn't come up. That little grinding don't come up. Choosing what you're going to do with your offenses. I encourage us to be careful. Be careful how you respond, and also be careful on that exhortation we had this morning on the one who is offending. You know, our words are powerful. I think there's a proverb that says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Let's just be very considerate of that. This morning, as I was considering what Willie shared there, and he said, I don't know for sure what all the answer is, but I think one of the key answers into being offended or walking carefully so we don't offend, I think one of the key answers, if not the key answer, is one is to love God with all your heart. And the one that comes to my mind is to fear God. To have a reverential awe of God in our lives. Not just when you come to church on a Sunday morning, but that's part of your life. When you go to work, that's part of your life. When you're at a family gathering, that's part of your life. Walking carefully, asking God to direct our words, our actions, our thoughts, to be concerned about what he's concerned about. And that's what I was going to speak on this morning, was the fear of God. And I know a while back here I did speak on this. This morning I was on my way to Michigan to go preach, and the weather was not conducive to traveling that many hours. So I made some arrangements, and I decided to go later. I wasn't planning on being here. And then Brother Paul was planning on preaching this morning, but with his brother passing on, I asked him if he wants to. And I know what it's like when a family member passes away. It creates struggle. And so I am preaching here this morning, and I look at it as the hand of God. And I was thinking of the fear of God and how we go through life so many times with the lack of it. Fear, a right fear of God, a definition of fear, I'm going to give it to you. An unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. An instant of this emotion, a state marked by this emotion, anxious concern, solicitude. And the one I want us to get is a profound reverence and awe, especially toward God. And another definition was to be afraid of, expect with alarm, fear the worst. And this here is one I want us to get as well, is to have a reverential awe of fear God. And so my heart this morning is that we have a reverential awe towards God as we go through life. And this will affect many, many areas of life. In Proverbs 1:7 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 15:16, fear, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, he shall not be visited with evil. We see that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and it brings knowledge of the holy, it brings understanding, it brings instruction. And so as we fear God, we have a right reverential fear of God. We will allow that to direct and to affect us in how we operate in this life. And as I was thinking of how we respond to offenses, I believe the fear of God, that reverential awe of God, will help us to not be offended, and it'll also help us to walk carefully so we don't offend. Just a couple of thoughts of just thinking how, in practical ways, of the fear of God. Well, just thinking of Noah, for example. Noah, it says he was moved with fear, and he built the ark to the saving of his household, it says. The fear of God, the understanding of God, the knowledge of God, a reverential awe towards God will move us to walk in a carefulness in His ways. It'll cause a love for God. I was thinking of David. As you read Psalm 119, Lamar read a few verses for us. It's almost in every verse that he talks about a love for the Word of some sort or another, either the commandment, the statutes, the law, the precepts, almost in every verse. And there's 170 some verses maybe in that chapter. But a reverential fear of God will create a love for the Word of God. It'll create that because that's what we pattern our life after. And just in some practical ways, I was just thinking of this morning, as I was thinking of Paul's brother Mike that passed away. I wonder this morning, in this room, I wonder what kind or how would it affect you and I this morning? For you as wives, if that was your husband, are we living with that reverential awe towards God that we are at a place in our marriage that, yeah, there's a lot of pain there, but that would be okay? Or are we living in a way where we would have a lot of regrets? Oh, that argument that I... Oh, the way I treated... Oh, the words I said. Do you understand? In this room, how is it? How is it? You as children, if that was your dad, last evening died of a heart attack, how is it? That thing he asked me to do and I just ran over him. The disrespect that I've showed him, whether it's words, actions. I wonder, how is it? You don't have to answer that to me, but I want that to be a reality in your heart today. You were not promised another day. Your dad is not promised another hour. My dad died suddenly, just as Mike did, of the same thing, of a heart attack. And I believe he was the same age, 69. There's no more opportunity, friends, to make restitution. Opportunity's done. How is it? How is it with you and your dad? How is it with you and your husband? You know, men, if that was you, are there regrets? Would there be regrets? Oh, I wish I'd have made that right with her. We don't need to live that way. We don't need to, brothers and sisters, friends. There's no need for it. The only reason we do is because we allow in our hearts and lives the lack of the fear of God. That's our choice. But that's where we allow our hearts to go, is where we don't hold this high reverential awe of God. The one who created us, the one who designs and orders our steps. It's not up to you and I when we choose to die or to be born. That's not up to us. But what is up to us is how we live this span of time, our lives here. And our destiny is up to us. We can choose today. Joshua says, choose you this day. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But it's up to us how we live in our own little homes. We can come together on a Sunday morning. God bless you real good, brother. Good to see you, sister. We can do that. But in our homes, it's not like that. It's not like that. Sometimes, and I know life, we can get stressed out. I understand all that. And then there's times where things, maybe we respond because we're stressed out. But that's not the norm. And we say sorry and make amends. I understand that. But I'm talking about a habit of life. This is how we live. And then something strikes real close to home. You know, my dad lay there. I was thinking, Lord, no, I wasn't ready for this. No, a little more time. Life was getting good with my dad. I was enjoying my time with my dad. But you know, God, it's His doings. But it's up to us if we want to be prepared. The fear of God will help us to prepare to die. The fear of God will help us to live prepared to die. One thing about David, he was a man. You know, we know David and Goliath. And we oftentimes, when you hear the words, David was a man after God's own heart, that was a testimony of God about David. And you scratch your head and think, And can anybody think of any sin that David committed? You can, can't you? That thing comes right to your mind because you know the account. But David was a man. His heart was after God. When David sinned, he was quick to repent. Nathan came to him and said, David, you did this. He didn't kill Nathan. But he fell on his face before God. He repented. And I want to encourage us to have the fear of God that we can be quick to repent when we do things wrong. When we respond wrong, that harsh word, that unchristlike attitude. God saw it all. God heard it all. Our words are recorded. We give an account for our words. But the fear of God will help us. Will help us through that. Our fear, the fear of God, will help us prepare to die. And when death strikes close to home, my heart for each one of you, each one of us, is that you're not left here with regrets. That's my heart for you. But you know, friends, that's determined in how you live today. That's determined in how you live today. The fear of God can help you live that way. You know, friends, if you find yourself stuck in a rut, you find yourself that you're always failing in this area, you're always upset with your children, you're always frustrated with your wife, or vice versa, or children with your dad, do something about it. God doesn't call you to live that way. Do something about it. You know, brothers, sometimes we can cut a little work out of our schedule. We know that by overscheduling is going to cause us to pop. It just happens that way. Maybe that's not a weak point in your life. Maybe it's something else. But do something about it. The fear of God will help you do something about it. A right fear will. Because you have an eternal perspective. But when we have this carnal, earthly perspective, we lack the fear of God. And therefore, it causes much hurt in our lives. I was thinking of the fear of God in just different practical areas. Thinking of just training our children, just family life. You know, it seems like there's a mentality to where I remember years ago that our family, when we met the Lord, okay, we were excited about this new life. We met God, and we were living in darkness. In darkness, where we didn't have a lot of godly families to look at and say, ah, I want that for my family. I want to go that way with my family. I want to follow, I pattern my life after them as they walk with God in the fear of God. I want to do that. We didn't have a lot of that where a lot of us come from. So we came out and we knew that we did not want what we had, right? We wanted something better. We wanted to be able to lift up the word in an openness, help our children find their way. We didn't want this just rampant sinful lifestyle that we grew up with. We didn't want that. But you know, we started out with a great zeal for family. We did. We wanted godly families. We wanted our children all to grow up and love the Lord and walk in a fear towards God. Have their own personal convictions. We wanted them to pick up ours as they go through life. Stand in awe of a holy God. We wanted that. And we started that way. And a lot of us are continuing that way. But I've noticed creeping in a different mentality of child training, where there's timeouts instead of biblical discipline. Where there's, well, they're a certain age. We just give them some space and help them. They're going to make their own choices. We're going to give them some space and hopefully they'll make the right ones. That's not biblical child training, friends. That's not. That's child training with the lack of the fear of God, because we're not doing things God's way. It ain't going to come out right. Those things have been creeping in. Just small things. Giving direction to our children without expectation. That's actually biblical. You give direction with expectation. When it's not met, then you just give biblical discipline. What does that bring to the heart and life? Peace. It brings peace to that child. But as parents, we have been growing lax in this, to where I'm not an author. A man that runs his home with authority, like you're all going to do it my way. That's not what I'm trying to present here. Just doing it God's way. Using the authority God gives, doing it His way. Instead of winking at things and letting things go and hoping to get better as children get older. Study the Word. It won't. I can promise you that because it's the Word. It won't get better. We're given direction on how to do this. The fear of God will motivate us to do it, to teach Him the right ways. When we walk by the way, when we're sitting down, when we rise up, all those times, it says we are to train and teach our children. All too often, as time goes on, we start just kind of getting more lax. We just stop doing these things. You know, it's not going to come out right. We're going to grow up as parents. As we get older, we're going to be disappointed. Maybe when our nest is empty and all the grandchildren come up, we're going to be disappointed. We're just going to be. We can make the best of everything, but we'll be disappointed. The fear of God will motivate us to step up and fulfill that role. The lack of the fear of God will help us continue on letting it go. Not fulfilling our responsibility in our home. The lack of the fear of God, young people, children, will help you continue on not fulfilling your responsibility. That's what it'll do. But the fear of God will motivate you to be in your place. It'll do that. This new idea of child training, I've actually heard that it's been creeping in our circles where we don't discipline, we don't give direction with expectation. We're going to do a timeout. You take 2 minutes here, and we're going to hope that you catch this after this 2 minutes. All right, Judson, that work for you? In 2 minutes, you got to catch this, all right? Sure, it feels good because we didn't have to have our hearts touched by anything. Because, you know, when you discipline a child correctly, that'll do just about as much for you as it will with a child. You discipline and then you spend time in prayer with them afterwards and you talk with them. And that peace that floods that child's face, it's undescribable. But when we don't do that, we let a cloud over them. That 2 minute, try a quick fix, that doesn't take the cloud away from them. It doesn't. But God designed a way. God designed a way. And it's up to us to fulfill that. You know, the lack of the fear of God, it creates, as time goes on, it creates reckless decisions in life. It creates a lack of carefulness in our hearts and lives. It says, a fool despises wisdom and instruction. Well, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when we despise wisdom and instruction, the Bible says that we're a fool. And people that have done that over the past years that I have experienced, they have made a lot of reckless decisions, a lot of poor decisions. It's to their hurt. It's to their hurt. But let's not be fools, but let's embrace it. I had to think also one aspect of the fear of God. When you look at brotherhood and you look at a functioning and outworking of a brotherhood, Willie was talking about that this morning, the church. When you live it in a practical way, in a way that you're together, it takes the fear of God to do that. It takes seeing that God has instituted the church, standing in reverence to God, thinking about receiving direction and correction and not despising wisdom and instruction. The fear of God will embrace that from the church. It won't resist it. The lack of it will. The lack of it will. It takes the fear of God to walk in humility in a body, in a functioning body. It takes the fear of God. It takes seeing that God instituted it and God is behind it. Because what happens is we start resisting. When we start resisting wisdom, instruction, and those type of things in our lives, we look at it, instead of seeing it as an institution of God, instead of seeing it as for our benefit, we look at it as that we're just simply, we find ourselves fighting against men. That's who we think we're fighting against. And actually, it's our pride and our arrogancy that gets in the way, and we start resisting men. We don't consider that this is an institution of God. This is an outworking of God's design. And we see it as we're fighting against flesh and blood, and that's not what we fight against. It's the enemy that comes in, and when we find ourselves there resisting direction, when we find ourselves there not willing to bow down and humble ourselves and walk together, when we find ourselves there, it's typically because there's pride coming into our hearts. The enemy is at work behind the scene. But a right fear of God will help us to humble ourselves under His mighty hand, that He may exalt us in due time. A right fear of God will help us to cast our care upon Him, because He cares for us. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It is God that is at work. We need to keep ourselves and our hearts open to having the right fear of God and seeing it as a God thing. When we have the right fear of God, we can have our marriages in a right place. We can have our families in a right place. In our personal lives, we can have our personal walk in a right place. That's all comes from the right fear of God. And, you know, friends, I say this, and I say it with authority. I really believe it. But it's for me too, because I can go through a difficult week in life and I can lose the focus on eternal perspective. And you all know I drive truck. And one of the areas that is easy to snap at is when somebody cuts you off. Well, they never heard me say anything, and I don't say much. I usually don't say anything in my truck. But it's when my hand goes up and pulls on that horn and lets them know that I didn't appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? That's not an eternal perspective. That's not right for me. I'm just telling you, I need it too. We all need this. We all need this fear of God. You know, I found that one way to overcome that is to pray for those that do that to you. I shared that with a brother before. You know, he's talking about just honking the horn. I said, well, I found that praying for him is a blessing. It does something for me. But I confess that I don't always get that right. I don't always get that right. But when I have the right fear of God, I'm more concerned about others than I'm concerned about me in those times. I don't let myself become offended by that. I was thinking also, as we go through life, Brother Willie had shared about being that's when he asked some of you brothers about what your thoughts were of offenses. And my thought was along some of the same lines of being a testimony. And I was thinking the right fear of God will help us to maintain a clear testimony to those around us, whether it's believers or unbelievers. A right fear of God will do that. And a right fear of God will help us even in our spending habits. I was thinking sometimes we can say a lot of good and right things. And then we can turn around, like Brother Willie shared. He turned around. He might be able to share with somebody and turn around and buy something that is not of the kingdom. But we can do those things with maybe just lavish living. We can do that as well. Be a poor testimony. We share a lot of good things and then turn around and just kind of splurge here. Lack of self-control. The right fear of God will actually help us spend correctly. It doesn't even actually buy every good deal out there. A right fear of God, as I was thinking about being a testimony, will help us to not be a hypocrite. That's one thing that I've heard many, many people over the years. Yeah, they would say this, but look at their children. They tell me something, but look at their children. Friends, that is a very poor testimony. That's not going about life with the right fear of God. I want to encourage us in this area of being free from offenses, having the right fear of God. Take it very, very seriously. Because God did. That's why He gave the word so sharply to us. Woe. I think one of the verses he says, woe. And it's an exclamation of grief. But the right fear of God will help us to be a clear testimony. A right fear of God will help us to see who we really are. Not who we think we are, but it'll help us to see who we are. As we meet God, as we have this close relationship with God, and maybe you're just reading. Maybe you're just reading the Word, and all of a sudden, something pricks you in here. That's me. I do that sometimes. So I tell my children to not speak so harshly to each other. Be more patient. Be kind. And all of a sudden, I might not be reading, but all of a sudden in the back of my mind, maybe they need a better example. Maybe they need a better example. But the right fear of God will help me see who I am. Not who I think I am. Does that make sense? Having that right reverence towards God. It brings more of a sensitivity to us. It helps us to see who we are. It helps us to see in areas that we can improve in. I was just thinking of the right fear of God in our marriages. It will actually make our marriage a more pleasant experience when we have the right fear of God. Heard someone say the other day, he actually said it to me. He said, you know, when people go share at open mic time at the weddings sometimes, he says, you know, sometimes they'll say, you think you really love each other now. You think this is great now. It's only going to get better. I agree with that. That's my experience, actually. I actually support that. That is my experience. But I was thinking of the sobering words that he said. He said, I think, man, is he married or not? Because that's not his experience. But you know, men, when we're not in our place, we can't expect our marriages to prosper. We can't expect to grow old together and keep enjoying each other. That's something, and also, women, the same thing for you. If you're not in your place, if this thing isn't working together like God designed it, you won't grow old enjoying each other's company. And something that I cherish is when I see an elderly couple and they're delighted to be together, even though they both have maybe handicaps of their own. She's fussing over him and it's like, wow. She's concerned about how he's getting along and she barely gets around herself. That to me, friends, that's love. That's that marriage that keeps getting better. But if we want that, then we need to have the right fear of God so we can be in our place, so we can get that, so we can have that, experience that. In our homes, you know, it's my desire that my children can look back at their childhood years, can look back at their time under my roof with a lot of precious memories. That's my desire. Not one where they had an angry father. Not one where they had a passive father. One where they had a dad that was in his place. Sure, not every time. We fail. We do. But the heart, putting effort to be in my place. Where a mom is that way. It's my desire that my children can look back with fond memories. But you know, parents, if we don't have the right fear of God, if we don't seek God for our family, for our own lives, personally, we're probably going to come short in that. They might have a couple good memories. I want them to have a lot. I want that to be something they can look back to and say, you know what? I had a good experience. I want to follow that example. That's what I want. And sometimes I tremble thinking, I think I missed the mark. But that doesn't cause me to give up. It doesn't. Because I know that if I put my effort in doing things God's way, I know His blessing is on it. Even though sometimes as parents we feel wore out. We feel like quitting. We do. Life just pressing in on us. That's all right. Just keep enduring because God is behind you. His kingdom is behind you to do it His way. Doing things in the fear of God. Having the right fear of God, first and foremost, will produce a life of that's concerned about personal holiness, a personal walk with God. And then it continues to go out to family, to marriage, to the church body. A life that's concerned that way. A proper fear of God. And one aspect of that is when we have the proper fear of God, we will have a love for the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to have a love for the Word of God. To enjoy going there, not putting your time in, but to enjoy going there and meeting with God. Let the Word be rich. It's one thing just to put your time in. It's another thing to go meet with the Lord. Have that right heart towards God. And when we have the proper fear of God, we will hate all evil, pride, and arrogance in the evil way. We'll hate the froward mouth. We won't want anything to do with that. But we want His kingdom. We want what's pure, what's lovely, good report, that's just, it's holy. We want that. So I'm going to leave you with those thoughts. I want to just encourage us, I guess, to, as we go through life, The proper fear of God will determine, it'll determine where we go in life. It'll determine our destiny after this life is over. It really will. It determines all those things. It'll determine if you'll be the one that finds your husband not here anymore. And if you have regrets or not regrets, it'll determine that. Or to find your wife gone before. Regrets or no regrets. Your mom, your dad. The fear of God determines that. And we don't have to live life of regrets. God wants us to enjoy this life to the fullest. He wants us to have peace and joy, being directed by His Spirit. But that only comes by right fear of God. God bless you all.